Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and bees, this is the Eat, Sleep, Believe, Repeat podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. I am the Digital Duke. I am the Digital Phantom, also known as the Duke of Zerps, also known as the Lisan Al-Gaib, the voice of the outer world. And with me is the Shai Hulud of the Immortal Dreamscape himself, Charlie.
Fuck that! It's Wardlow! How's it doing? The Shai Hulud. It's Shai Hulud Sunday up in this bitch. Well, not really, but fuck it. Yeah. We can act like it.
It's play Laxu Tuesday, everybody.
Let's go.
Fucking Christ. You know what's crazy? I'm actually into children. Those motherfuckers still haven't done shit. I'm guessing they're going to be in the back half because there's no way they're like, man, those Ixians, those play Laxu, they be doing stuff.
They be okay. Moving and grooving.
They do be doing it, but I ain't seeing it. You know, anyway, I don't even think they've introduced a Toy Laxu character. No, there's been a couple face dancers. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Whatever. The point is, Dune is awesome. You should definitely listen to it or read it. I recommend it highly. And if you haven't done either of those and you want a reason to, go fucking watch the two movies. They're going to be on Max today. So go watch Dune, do a double feature, fucking nut in your pants 12 times, and then fucking go, re-listen to the books, you know? Be a real fucking human being! No, anyway, But that being said, and we had some pretty good wrestling this week. We had some good stuff. There was some meh stuff. There was some mid stuff. Max Caster still can't rap. Sorry, you know. But I don't know what the fuck happened with that, bro. Wasn't there didn't we have like a meme gimmick where he had a mustache before and his rap sucked then too? Isn't it? Was that not legit a thing? I swear to God, the mustache is cursed. Like.
Yeah, something like that. It feels just
the only person that can pull off a fucked mustache like that is Matt Jackson, and we all know it, you know. But and maybe Nick on the right day, you know. But fucked ass mustaches, leave that to Hangman Page. You know what I mean? But speaking of Hangman, how long has it been since we saw that motherfucker? Holy shit! Is he hurt right now? I can't remember.
Maybe they're doing the thing we always ask for. We're just giving him some time.
Him some time. Hey, when
after
he comes back,
so predominantly
he'll be big.
Featured.
You know? He was very featured for a good while there, in one storyline, too. So, yeah, that's good. I'm glad that they're letting the guy have some time with his family and stuff, you know? But anyway, yeah, I mean, fuck. Let me just go through the orders of business at the top of the show here. So we got, a lot of stuff to do this episode. We're going to have our Double or Nothing predictions. We're going to have updates on stuff from news, All Out. There's some wrestling stuff we're obviously going to talk about. Sorry about that. I had to cough. And before we get into all that, though, what I want to go ahead and do is tell you guys about a couple of things. First of all, this podcast is you're listening to this on a platform right now, be that Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or maybe one of the third-party sites that reposts our podcast. Whatever you're listening to that on, make sure if there's a way for you to do it, follow, subscribe, whatever the button that it says right there that gets you in touch with our podcast every week so you don't miss an episode, make sure you click that button. And also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Bane Duke. That's BaneDuke, and at O'Charlie with an X instead of an A. And you can also find the both of us at Eat Sleep Elite on Twitter. We do tend to respond to the community. We have some stuff from that this week. We did get some responses back on some of the stuff we asked or said throughout the show. We always love to hear what you guys have to say. So make sure go at Eat Sleep Elite. Hit us in the DMs. You can probably DM each of us individually. You know, like I said, at Bane Duke, at O'Charlie with an X instead of an A. And we'll definitely bring it up on the show. Because we love to hear what you guys have to say and we love interacting with the community. So I'm very curious to see what that person had to say this week. But that being said, other stuff that we involve with the community, stuff that if you go on Spotify, you can participate in every single week. Even if you don't listen on Spotify, if you have an account, just go on there. If you want to vote in the poll, man, it's we always like to hear more varied opinions. You know, I'd like to hear what the audience has to say because we actually have a pretty diverse audience of wrestling fans. We got people in America. We got people in Canada. We got people in the UK, you know. I think we even have some people from other places, you know, so like, it's like at the end of the day, you know, this is a very, you know, diverse wrestling community. We probably have varied opinions, you know, but the one thing we all agree on is that we love AEW, so we can all get along in that way, you know, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys for that. But that being said, let's get into our poll results from last week, Charlie, because poll, I was actually a pretty good poll. I thought I tried to do my best to come up with good ideas here. And the poll question last week was, is Dax Harwood the most unselfish, one of the most, or was it the one of the most or the most? I don't remember how I phrased
one
it.
Of the most.
That is a better way of putting it than the most, because then that's such a hard question, because there might be someone else that somebody else likes in that way more. But I appreciate the way you phrased that. So what were our results there, Charlie?
It is a 100% yes. So one of the most unselfish wrestlers, Dax Harwood.
I mean,
everyone in
of
our
course.
Audience seems to of agree. And we agree
gimme.
The same.
Of course, it was a gimme poll. I know. Sometimes I phone it in a bit with the polls. But that one honestly felt like appropriate for that week that we had from Dax. I mean, dude just fucking... And he's going to continue to do it this week. You know what I mean? Like, or I guess I should say... No, yeah, it will be this week. That's Tuesday, yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, I expect nothing less. I expect in the big match of the pay-per-view, he's going to do the same thing. And it's part of the reason why FTR are so trusted and why them and the Young Bucks are like the only two teams you can really guarantee are going to win the championships again anytime soon. Without like some sort of like explosion from the crowd or just, you know, circumstances changing. But Dax is genuinely, I mean, that's what makes him such a phenomenal wrestler and a phenomenal tag team wrestler. Is his ability to not have an ego, you know? And let's not pretend like all wrestlers don't have egos. The guy does. He's admitted it himself, you know? But he knows when to step away or to step back and let somebody else have the spotlight that needs it, deserves it, whatever, you know? So shout outs to Dax Harwood for just being a fucking great guy and probably a great dad and probably a great husband and probably just a great dude. You know what I mean? He's probably just a fucking good. I would probably like to be friends with Dax Harwood, I would imagine, you know? But of course, that is not the case because we don't, you know, he's a professional wrestler and I'm a nerd that like likes to talk about how awesome his matches are. So while we'd get along, I don't know that we'd be friends, but you know, it'd still be cool to meet him eventually one day. There's like a couple of dream interviews for me, Charlie, if we were ever to get on this podcast. One of them would be Kenny. Obviously, Brian would be my fucking ultimate number one, you know. You know, maybe like a Zack Sabre or Will would actually probably be our number one at this point. If we could get Will, dude, oh my God. He'd be
pick
fucking
some brains.
We'd have a 4-hour podcast with Will, and he would talk to us. I bet too. He'd just. I know this is me being cocky, but how much we love wrestling, I think Will would really like us. Like, I think he would actually get along with us, even if he didn't agree with any of our.
We just gotta call him bruv, and we're in.
Oh, 100%. You know, we're like bruv. Listen, man. No, anyway. No, but like, yeah. That being said, though, let's get into the rest of the stuff at the top of the show. I believe I got most of everything. Yeah, I did. Yep. All right, so we'll just go into favorites, which this week I got the nod here. And I mean, come on, there was some really good wrestling this week, but there was only a couple matches that we were really going to pick from for this list. And I would be curious, Charlie, how many times this man has already been in this fucking spot since he came here. But Will Ospreay is taking on Shane Taylor, and. Okay, so a lot of stuff to talk about here. Undisputed Kingdom showed up. Yep, there was a bruv sign. We had Muad'Dib on commentary. I'm sorry, Roddy on commentary. Will then did something you don't really see in wrestling a ton, which I thought was kind of odd that I'd never noticed. This is not something I've ever really seen somebody do. Maybe it's happened before and I just can't think of an example. I'm guessing what he did was a thing that in WWE would have gotten like shit on. You know what I mean? That's what I'm guessing we just saw happen. And because it was Will Ospreay and he's Will Ospreay, nobody cared. You know what I mean? Like, because that kind of thing done incorrectly would have just been stupid. But he grabs the water cup or whatever that I think Roddy had poured or something like that, or they had it there for a prop or whatever, you know. And he pours it on Roddy's head. Instead of getting physical with the guy or having him stand up at the desk or throwing somebody over the desk. Now, those things all work. When was the last time somebody just did something like that? And then Roddy's just pissed the whole match. You know what I mean? Like that. And it was also a nice excuse for Roddy to take his shirt off. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, like I don't know. It was just good stuff. It felt like a very wrestling moment. You know what I mean? I'll give Will some credit. That was like, I don't know how many times I've seen that recently. And Will is trying to be innovative and I like it. You know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love both of these guys. Will's got like this insane match quality. It's kind of hard for me not to pick him as my favorite, like every time for that reason. Like it's very difficult not to. He's entertaining as hell. His mic skills are super refined at this point. And I mean, his match, every promo segment, everything, he's entertaining every single time. Now let's talk about Shane Taylor for a second. Shane Taylor is maybe the most underrated big man in AEW, Charlie. Actually, fuck it. I didn't even come up with one. Poll question. Boom. There you go. Is Shane Taylor the most underrated big man in AEW? Boom. There you go.
Okay. Okay.
And he might be
that too with the Satnam Singh Danielson match that we're getting this 100%. Upcoming week.
That will be interesting to see because people are going to watch that match and they might say, no, actually, after what I saw from Satnam, bro, it might be him. You know what? Sometimes the universe just lines up, you know? And I actually kind of do like these polls focusing more on an individual wrestler because it'll tell me where our audience is at with some of these guys, because my suspicion will be that it's not going to be as clear cut as it was with Dax on this one, not because of anything to do with Shane Taylor. He doesn't get the time to show people sometimes, you know?
And I think if someone votes no, it's because their guess is that they think maybe either Lance Archer is the most underrated. Because I don't think any of us are going to sit here and say Hobbs is underrated. Not a chance.
Hobbs is valued. They just don't use him. You know, there's a difference between being undervalued and underused. Oh, and they know how valuable Warlow is. They just don't capitalize on it, you know? Like,
so,
and then with the other guys, yeah. It's just like they're all used sparingly. I'd say Keith Lee's probably would be a lot of people's too. But that's, again, he would have been used had he not had so many injuries, you know? Like, so it's hard to say, you know what I mean? I mean, Brian Cage, we obviously know what his fucking, like, top is, you know, his, what do you call that, like, his ceiling, and it's not very high. So, you know, like, but yeah, so, but I think he's the most underrated big man in AEW right now, personally. I think it's right up there with Big Bill, for me, as guys that are just, like, ridiculously good for their size, and, like, also just kind of fade into the background of a lot of situations that they're in for whatever reason. Not really Shane Taylor, per se, but they don't get the shine that they deserve, either of those guys, I don't think. And what I wrote in my notes is he's got like a diverse move set, and it's basically like essentially what he is a Haas Bryan Danielson, and that's fucking a pretty good way to put it. I think he's a giant man that wrestles like Bryan Danielson. You know what I mean? Like, so there you go, and or because of all the power moves, Claudio. So it's like you mix them into one wrestler, which is kind of cool, you know. And I actually think for this match, why I like this match so much, not to fucking keep my yapathon going here, but, you know, I think his diversity of moveset added depth to Will's, which made this match super entertaining. Yeah, so that's my thoughts on that match. But, yeah, we had a post-match beatdown by the Undisputed Kingdom after Will picks up the win, I believe, with the Hidden Blade. I think it was either with the Hidden Blade or the Stormbreaker. I can't remember. He beat him, though. He defeated Stormbreaker. Shane Taylor. Stormbreaker, okay. So he's starting to get that move over more. Okay, makes sense. Build it up to the pay-per-view. I figured it was a move. Listen, I didn't write it down, all right? That was the problem. Normally I do.
All good.
But yeah, just give me your thoughts on this match, Charlie, and then we'll get into your favorite. I really enjoyed Lord Willard.
Funny enough, my top key here was... Ospreay hitting the Stormbreaker on Taylor, I thought was very impressive. It shows off Will Ospreay's athleticism, and this match did a great job showing off Shane Taylor's strength.
Ospreay's strength. I'm not saying anything about Shane Taylor. He's slimmed down a shit ton since we started watching him, but he's still a big, meaty man. You know what I mean? That man.
Oh yeah, dude. He's got the defensive lineman fucking legs. Mm-hmm, he's got as Mike Nayak would say,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's got that thick muscle. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, that guy ain't fucking easy to lift. You know what I mean?
I thought we were this match gave us an interesting clash of styles. Here's the thing. He came across great as always. He was very over. And Shane Taylor, to his credit, stayed with him every step of the way. His agility on the leap.
Yeah, this is like
spots.
The third best wrestler in the world candidate that he's wrestled now, Shane Taylor, I feel like, that he has looked fucking really good against.
I feel like AEW's finding their way with these guys.
Throw him against fucking Brian. Have they thrown him against Brian? Yeah,
they work.
Brian. Throw him against anybody. You know what I mean? Just all of them. Fuck it. Takeshita. Him and Takeshita could have a fucking banger of a match. Oh my god.
And I think last thing I'll say for this match was Shane Taylor, he came across again as a badass, and it became legit in the sense of his strikes. He's a very, very advanced striker. And I think we see stuff like that. You know, we get glimpses of it in some of his shorter matches. But again, it's why I'm going to keep saying this till the fucking till it happens. Those guys as a trio, Moriarty, Agogo, and Shane, I'd like to see them get a lot more trio money, dude. Action.
I love the idea, and I would love to see them run with it, but it just feels like one of those groups that's just there kind of to lose to people for a little while, you know? Like,
because if Agogo can create a style to fit with these guys,
because
you have your brute strength, you have your technician, and if Agogo can enhance that brawler style like the Golden Glove boxer he is, you're looking at something that's just, it's more than just a fucking another team on a pound of paper. So I think that's worth noting. Shane Taylor is our poll question today. If you guys vote on that, we really appreciate it. And jumping over to my favorites, we're going from quite literally the match that happened right before this, if you're watching in chronological order. Kazuchika Okada defeats Dax Harwood for the AEW Continental title match. Another post-match angle here. I wasn't over the moon of the post-match angle here, where the Elite hit the ring and they're beating up Dax and Danielson and Cash came out. But we got revealed the third member or the fourth member of Team AEW, which was Darby Allin. How the fuck is this guy possibly the member?
There's no way he's cleared. No chance. Like
getting hit by a bus, breaking his foot, you name it. This man is a fucking animal.
Bro, honestly, if they hadn't needed him for this, he might have still tried to climb Everest this year, honestly.
He probably would have. But
I don't even know if you can this late in the year, but if he could, he would have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think going into this match, you know exactly what you were going to get. This wasn't over the moon spectacular. I do think the best match of the week, the weekend, was Ospreay and Shane Taylor. To me, that's the match that spoke the most to me, I believe. But I have to give this the second best, and in other terms, since you took the other one, this is my favorite. Okada's heel work was great here. There was a botch that kind of threw stuff off the rails a little bit, but they're both so professional, they figured it out. They kept it going. I think just the sharpshooters, you name it, I think they had good chemistry together. I think in a vacuum, this is going to be a match that you look back on after some time, and it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those ones in the Dax Harwood playlist or the FTR playlist.
He's such a good singles wrestler. He is
like,
so
oh my
good.
God, he wrestled Okada on just a fucking dynamite? What? You know, like.
Rainmaker for the victory, but Okada was using his size a lot, you name it. There's a really cool break the count at 9. They had a fun little technical wrestling match.
I mean, think about it like this. This guy, who we talked about being one of the most unselfish wrestlers last week, got given one of Okada's first, 20 matches in AEW. That shows you how valued he is by the company and how much they understand he can do for a person, even like Okada.
Match, not on pay-per-view, too. This match was long.
It should be, too.
It got time.
I love them giving Dax time like that, too, for these kinds of matches, because he's not going to get 6 matches with Okada in his time. He's just He's going to get one or two if he's lucky. You know what I mean? So he got to make this work, and Okada probably is like, yeah, I'm not going to probably wrestle much tag while I'm here, and if I do, it's not going to be for the titles, probably. So, you know, like, or at least if it is for the titles, it's not going to be against FTR, because, again, you know, it's like, you run that as him and somebody versus the Elite or something like that, right? You know what I mean? Like, because that's way more money. But no offense to FTR, but yeah. So just give me a final thoughts on this, and then we'll move on to the other stuff. But I mean, just fucking
and it was really good. It was really enjoyable, and I thought it closed off a dynamite that was a pretty strong dynamite overall. So yeah, let's jump to our news here, and we did have Andrew write into us. This was on Spotify where Andrew wrote in, and for some reason Spotify hid this from us. It wasn't published right away. I had to actually go in and manually publish it, and I don't know if that's on Spotify. So Andrew did write this in 2 episodes ago, so I want to apologize for not getting to it when we had the chance right away. Of course, now Spotify doesn't want to work. But basically, the question is slightly outdated, but I just wanted to acknowledge it for your sake. Andrew, if you're listening, thanks for writing in. Pretty much he's tired of the Mogul Embassy. And he's wondering, you know, what do we do with them? Where do they possibly go? And, well, your question's been answered.
They go into oblivion.
He said, I think they need to go. What do you guys think? And, question's been answered. They're gone.
His barometer for wrestling is clearly on point, because right about when he sent that in was when they broke it up. So
I think it was literally that following week. So,
he had the right barometer. So friend, you have the right feeling. You have the similar thing that I do, that me and Charlie both kind of do at this point, which is you kind of just can feel storylines and stuff kind of as they ebb and flow and die, you know? I'm trying to think of the last one that we really called out, but it ended up being really obvious, you know, in the end. And everyone else was really shocked.
The Bang Bang Scissor Gang, we were pretty...
We were pretty against that, but there wasn't a second
where we were like, yeah, this is going to last a while.
Yeah, actually, that was it. It was them losing those titles. That was probably the most recent one. Yeah, probably.
So it's like, yeah. So let's get into some news here.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Andrew. And if anyone has questions, again, for Double or Nothing, I will pull up the Spotify. We'll go through the poll and all that shit, and we'll keep it a buck with you. So that'll be our next show, guys. Double or Nothing, which is, we talked about it last week, but pay-per-view shows are so much fun, and this is going to be no exception. Oh, yeah. So
if you guys just came onto this podcast in the last like cycle of pay-per-view build, you're getting ready for like the best show of the month, and it's going to be fun. And then we're going to roll straight from that into Forbidden Door stuff. So it'll be fucking awesome, you know?
Eddie Kingston has broke his leg.
Speaking of Forbidden Door, can't ever get past this, can we?
This apparently is more than just a broken leg. There's some ACL in here. Eddie Kingston took a bump beat. I can't believe he took, but I know it's his love
this
for the game.
This might be unpopular to say. It might be for the best for his health. Because I don't think this guy was taking any time off while he was injured, while he was champion. Especially champion of three companies.
In a sense, are you kind of saying, like, this will maybe...
It also benefit him as a wrestler, I think, too. I don't think he's been overexposed. I think he's been used the correct amount.
And maybe it'll do something for his mental, too, to where he doesn't... Now he knows, you don't have to do this, man.
I don't think that part... I think that part of him is a choice. I don't think that's, like, his... You know, mental health, I think, because he's got that shit probably under control.
It's that thing of wrestlers that we always hear about. 100%. They always want to tune it up to the next degree.
And they want to never, like, even when they're hurt, they never want to, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Adam Copeland's probably a little hurt right now. Like, but he's not going to stop because he knows this is his last couple of years in wrestling. So he's going to go full on. You know what I mean? And I respect it.
This was just,
but I also don't want them to be injured the entire time. It's like that was the thing that killed me about CM Punk's return, was not the shit that went down, because that shit could have gone down and he goes back to WWE and maybe I would have still watched him, right? But it was his inability to see that he was hurting the product by not taking the proper time that he needed to heal from injuries. And I'm sorry if he wants to sit here and be like, well, actually, I did everything perfectly and none of that was related to the injuries not being healed. And it's like, fine. But the way it felt watching it was like, my God, this guy cannot stay uninjured for his life. And it's even carried over to the other company. So it's like, you know, like, I don't want that to be the feeling that I have about some of these wrestlers, because Eddie Kingston is phenomenal. And he's one of the few only AEW stars that we have that only has been a star in AEW and is a big star and has been a multi-time world champion. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. And first ever Continental Champion, which, you know, that's... At the legacy of that title, I got a good feeling about. So, AEW's updated pay-per-view schedule has shifted. All Out has been moved a week back, and it continues the trend of Saturday pay-per-views. The writing's on the wall for Collision. Collision's going to get the fuck off Saturday. Hopefully sooner than later.
Bro, Collision might get the fucking axe, honestly, like...
It'll be fine. It's just got to go to Fridays. And I know that they're probably waiting to see what happens with SmackDown on USA. And I understand that. But I'd be totally be cool with Collision on Tuesdays as well. There's so many options they could do with Collision. It's just got to get off Saturdays. We can't do another college football season with Collision on Saturdays because, well, it got absolutely slaughtered. But All Out moves to September 7th.
They changed the days. They got to change that intro song, though. Sorry. As cool as it is, like...
So All Out being 2 weeks after All In, I think that helps out a lot of people's complaints from last year of, oh, well, we're doing it 6 days later. What the fuck are we doing? No longer doing that. So speaking of Collision, this is huge. AEW has partnered with City of Arlington for a 6-show summer series called The Path to All In. Collision, Saturday, July 20th. ROH, Death Before Dishonor, Friday, July 26th. Collision, Saturday, July 27th. Collision, Thursday, August 1st. That's a taped. Collision, Saturday, August 10th. And Collision, Saturday, August 17th. These are all leading up to All In. They will be from the Esports Arena in Arlington, Texas. This has been dubbed as a historic partnership from AEW. And Duke, the most important thing to note here, AEW is getting paid for these shows. This is huge. This is a really good sign. And AEW is going to bank some fucking money going into All In. So, Texas.
I guess I wasn't aware of the fact that, like, there was this fucking thing I saw a while back on Twitter where people were like, AEW has to pay for these venues and blah, 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 right? And WWE gets paid to be in these venues. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. That's not how fucking, like, event venues usually work. No. Apparently it is in wrestling.
Partnerships, this and that. But no, AEW is getting paid to be here. This is very big. This is, and Arlington has been incredible. The Texas has been awesome for wrestling crowds in AEW. And we got our next ROH pay-per-view announcement, July 26th, Death Before Dishonor. So, that's pretty sweet.
That's gonna be, I'm sorry, I'm going to break everybody's hearts right now. Unless they do something drastic in the next couple months, that pay-per-view is going to fucking suck. I'm sorry, they've done nothing in the last several months since the last pay-per-view to make me care at all. They've done everything to make me not care. I love Ring of Honor, kind of, when it's good, but, like, there's one wrestler in Ring of Honor that can do anything right now, and it's Athena, and they really haven't done much with her either, so it's like, yeah, they got a storyline that they're kind of, sort of, doing right now. We'll get into it on Ring of Honor, but Christ, man, this, I understand they got to get it on the calendar. Fucking Christ, if it looks like it's going to be a fucking
dead show. I got a feeling Collision is going to look very, very
cool. That show could do under 2K tickets, Charlie. Unironically, I think. It could, I feel like. That 2K
is... Hey, this esports arena, it's just... We got. Hey, at least they're doing it the second show, so maybe it'll be popping. It'll be during the summer, you know, take the fam. It'll be great. Hopefully. All right, but that's it for news. Like we said, we don't have much. And what we're going to do today is we're going to go Ring of Honor, Dynamite, Collision, Rampage. A couple of these shows are going to be a little quicker than others because, well, they were fucking dog shit. And then we will do our Double or Nothing predictions at the very end. Duke, that being said, Ring of Honor, episode 64, you have the lead here. Yeah. Take us through it.
Yeah, sure will. Ring of Con. We got our opening card rundown from Rick Bone and Caprice. And we roll straight from that into Kyle Fletcher taking on Mentolo. Who was apparently one of Kenny's early rivals when he was on the Canadian independent scene. So there you go. Interesting stuff there. Kyle dismantled him, I thought, but in a respectful way. Does that make sense? Like, he didn't, like, just completely destroy the guy. Like, it's like he had, like, a little bit of respect for him for being Kenny's, like, you know, early rival or something. There was a flavor of a little bit of that this week with some of the opponents, you know what I mean, on Ring of Honor, so we'll see. We had Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh taking on the Dark Order's Evil Uno and John Silver, and I didn't even fucking write down who won this match. That's how little I cared.
Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh won. I was a little surprised by this. I that's kind of cool.
Given what we know now, it makes more sense, but that, yeah. So they gave him this rep last week so that he could be prepared for the Bryan match. Okay. Fair enough. So, yeah, that happened. The Iron Savages were backstage and were really pissed that the people that, you know, talk about what they do don't seem to like them very much. I can't imagine who that's been, who's been shitting on them the whole time and saying that they suck. Whoever that is an asshole. But Buried Country continued their promo. And I thought it was, I mean, hey, they actually finally did something with promo time. So I'll give them that. You know what I mean? Like, but this kind of rolled straight into the next match. It wasn't this match. There was a couple matches that came right back to back. So we had Anna Jay breaking on Tara Zapp, who is apparently a deathmatch psycho. Shout outs. She put her to sleep. I'm never going to complain about Anna Jay getting a rep, so we'll move on from that. But during Sky Blue versus Rachel Ellering, they talked about how Rachel Ellering and Ring of Honor wrestlers in general are no longer listening to the fans. I put fans in my notes. Really, it's the noise. But, like, that is the fans, so take that with a grain of salt, you know, and what they think. I mean, if it's just a storyline, great. If that's real, yikes, because the fans are kind of what you're doing this for. But I mean, hey, whatever it takes to get you through it, I guess. Not really the kind of, like, it does feel a little bit like, I will admit, it probably is a storyline, but it did feel a little bit like they were pissed that people aren't vibing with Ring of Honor when it's this shit. Like, I'm sorry, have better shows. I don't know what else to say. You know what I mean? Like, this feels like dark at this point. I'm sorry. I have to say it. It feels like fucking dark.
They know.
And it's like, and if they want to get pissed that people don't have good things to say, then they should complain to Tony Khan. And if Tony Khan's like, well, it's not really what we're doing with Ring of Honor right now, then remind him that he just booked the pay-per-view. But you know what bothers me, Charlie? And this is going to really upset me when I watch Ring of Honor this week, is this Ring of Honor is going to be better than the last six. You know what I mean? This next one, because they now have the pay-per-view announced and they have to start doing something, even though it's a few months away, they are still going to fucking start pushing it and it's going to start being better again. And I'm going to be like, oh my God, Ring of Honor is good. It's saved. And then a week after the pay-per-view, it's going to be back to this. So, you know. And Helico and Serpentico were pissed off backstage in a little video segment. They're still not done with Griffin, Cole, and Maria. So I guess that's going to go to the pay-per-view. Probably. Top Flight, and not according to Arcady, it was Dante Martin, but it was not. It was actually Andretti and Darius here. and they beat a couple of dudes.
Way too fucking long.
Yeah.
What the fuck was this match doing being the longest one on the show? It was beyond me.
Listen, man.
I don't know.
We got a little tease of some upcoming AEW Ring of Honor figures. Cool, I guess. Yeah. The Undisputed Kingdom took on Jason Geiger and London Lightning. Both of these guys have been like in featured for a little while as enhancements, so they might become wrestlers in Ring of Honor. I don't know. These proving ground matches just fucking mean nothing to me at this point.
Nice seeing London again.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And then there's a little bit of intrigue in this last match. Nicole Matthews, apparently one of those chicks that's like done all the same things the other wrestlers have done. Just never got picked up, you know what I mean? By any of the major companies. Maybe AEW or Ring of Honor could be that place for her. Not sure. She gets beat down. Obviously, Athena wins. Athena tries to beat the shit out of her after the match. Queen Aminata makes a save. Who cares, honestly?
Yeah, that's the sad part. The save was pretty cool, though, with Queen Aminata getting in there. And it was it last week we had the, no, I must be, I think what they're doing is, cause I even sent you a Red Velvet promo. I think they're teeing up a Queen Aminata and Red Velvet tag team to kind of go against Athena and Billy Starks.
Oh yeah. Ring of Honor women's tag titles. Let's go.
Maybe we'll each individually get their title shots. I mean, the only positive I could say about the show is all the champions are starting to be featured more, which for the bare minimum, I was actually really feeling wrestling when I watched watched the show this week. It made the show go the pace a little better, but just like last week, you couldn't have said it any better. It's an elevated fucking AEW Dark that you're paying $10 for. So, you know, do with that what you will. Sky Blue and Rachel seem like the most competitive match, and then that I completely blacked out during that Action Andretti and Darius Martin match. I could not believe how long that went. But, yeah, good stuff.
Say what I think the biggest problem is?
Yeah,
and I think this is becoming more and more obvious as people just don't show up that were supposed to be, like, your Ring of Honor, like, established stars, you know? Like, my thing, other than the champions being there, obviously, is that I feel like what I wanted this to be, and I said this to you when we were talking about Ring of Honor, as an idea before the TV show was even announced, right? When Khan had bought it, but we didn't do anything with it yet. And I kept saying, this should be your repository. It shouldn't feel like a demotion. This should be where you have to go to watch somebody wrestle. And you should have to pay the money for it because that's all the places they're wrestling right now. If they had done that with somebody like Claudio, when they weren't using him anyway, you know what I mean? Even when he was champion. It would have felt like, and it did feel like there was a bit of time where that was the case with Claudio, where he was wrestling either Proving Grounds or whatever every other week, you know, and he was doing the damn thing. And it's felt like it's faded since then. We have Athena, and there are a few others that are starting to pop up, but it's really kind of not.
Those guys have done it a lot with the tag titles, at least. I mean, at least we got those titles back because that
the tag titles weren't on the shows for like months. So yeah. But I mean, like
bare minimum, we're talking about the bare minimum here.
But I still feel like I want more established stars to feel like you have to go to Ring of Honor to watch them. I don't want it to feel like, well, Anna Jay needs another match, so throw her on Ring of Honor this week as well.
Look, I would have no problem with them teeing up some of these big matches just for the fucking, literally, it's a match for the live crowd. right? Yet we watched on Ring of Honor just because it's fun.
So why can't somebody be like, I'm going to wrestle an extra match every week in Ring of Honor? And then that's their gimmick. They're wrestling twice a week. It's a taped match, so it's not going to destroy them. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be super long, but you give them a 10-minute squash on fucking Ring of Honor. You know what I mean?
I mean, there are so many high-profile stars in AEW that if you just, I mean, it's as easy as just saying, hey.
And then you can use that to build into a Ring of Honor storyline later if they lose whatever they're in. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Dude, you could literally just toss this any of Tony the Combat likes Club, to do story. Yeah. Any of the Elite, just have them wrestle a random match for the live crowd that you happen to tape for Ring of Honor, and then people get excited. It's that easy.
It just feels like Ring of Honor is the nerd club at this point, you know? Like,
go ahead, toss Danielson versus fucking Okada on Ring of Honor. See what happens. I bet we'll get people watching that match.
Dude, that'd be definitely a way to get people to go behind that paywall. 100%.
Right? Let's jump into AEW Dynamite, where we kick off with a match this week for the first time in a little bit. Danielson's music kept playing throughout the intro here. Kind of a little set tune up for Anarchy in the Arena.
Taz back immediately, which I'm surprised by. But I guess it must have not been the kind of surgery that requires you to not travel, is my guess. You know what I mean? Like,
must have been, yeah.
Or he split it apart. I know that was something they said. Like, he probably wasn't going to get it all done at once, because that would be, he'd be out for a while, you know? But
hometown show for Danielson. Yep. Danielson and Jon Moxley defeated Jeff Cobb and Kyle Fletcher. Nice seeing Cobbert here. Crowd was loudly behind.
I put in a thickly bearded Cobb. So do what you want with that.
Thick. Olympic level thick. Beard.
Olympic thick.
In the post-match, built up the angle here with Takeshita.
Yeah.
So we're doing Takeshita versus Moxley.
Bros could not remember that shit was called a pry bar, by the way. It's because I know Taz didn't want to call it a crowbar.
Is that a long crowbar?
Yeah, no. They wanted to call it a crowbar, but they knew it wasn't a crowbar. You know what I mean? It's a pry bar, I think. I could be wrong, but I believe it's a pry bar. I think it's like for opening like those like wood boxes and then like prying other shit open, right? Anyway. But yeah. No, I mean, dude, I like this match. I actually really wish Jeff Cobb... was it fucking Shivani or somebody like that on commentary was like, I wish Jeff Cobb would come to AEW. I agree. Like, Jeff Cobb's pretty good, and he would fit right in with with the Don Callis people. You know, and if eventually it just becomes Will's faction, which I presume is what's going to happen with that faction, hopefully. But either way, even if Don Callis is still involved, like, I don't think that would hurt him. You know what I mean? I think Jeff Cobb's like the other guys in the group. They stand out enough on their own.
United Empire. So, he hit some really cool locomotion corner strikes, you name it. Doomsday Device was cut off by Danielson, who hit the Psycho Knee. Moxley hit the Death Rider, you name it. Takeshita is the stud here. I actually didn't put it in the notes, but it was a really kind of a heartbreaking interview from Takeshita this week.
Like, really? What did he talk about?
I don't want to do it justice by not having the full thing, but he's been pretty sad about wrestling in America. To say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him. He got brought in under the guise that he was going to be one of the big stars, and they've done nothing with him and put him in a group with a guy
who is super unpopular. That's why we put him most underrated wrestler last year, because he would beat Kenny Omega, and then we wouldn't see him for a month.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he's just having a hard time, and I hope they figure all that out. There was a quote in there about how he was in his ring gear, ready to go for his match against Jericho, and then it was cut as he was standing at the ramp. And shit like that just really, it didn't stick with him. And he's, Takeshita, this broke down a lot of walls. He's not that happy right now. And
I could have guessed that. I didn't want to be the fucking one to say it because I can't imagine this is a good place for him to be mentally right now. I mean, he's in the prime of his career. He had the top spot secured in DDT, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he'd wanted to go back there, they would have made him the king. You know what I mean? And he gave all that up, gave up potential opportunities in New Japan or All Japan or wherever he wanted to go, Noah maybe, wherever, you know what I mean? He gave up those opportunities, moved to America, uprooted his whole life, probably changed a lot of his plans for his life on the idea that Tony Khan was going to make him a star in America because he believed in him or whatever it was.
And he's been on the upper end of the card, but he hasn't even had gold yet.
Like he was above that middle of the card. It's never felt that way. It always felt like he was the very upper of the mid card, but he could never break through that ceiling and become a main eventer. And I don't know why he's beaten main eventer after main eventer after main eventer. And guys that are all almost at the main event level, which that's supposed to be the thing that elevates you up. It's what happened with Hangman and Swerve, right? Hangman. for all intents and purposes, made Swerve into a world title contender. He was already, in our opinion. But for the main crowd, I think after he beats Hangman in the way that he does, I don't think there's any question Swerve has to go after the title now. You know, like, in fact, that's what happened. So, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
So speaking of Swerve, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, good stuff. I feel bad for Takeshita, man. Fucking talented as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that we... Yeah, I don't have it and I can't find it, but hopefully that'll... Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it. Second poll this week. Is Takeshita being wasted in AEW? There you go. Mm. There it is. Two polls this week.
Malachi Black responds to Adam Copeland. Copeland made his entrance here. He's attacked by the House of Black, and pretty much Alistair took his, Malachi took his ring.
Tommy End, sorry.
Kyle O'Reilly made the save. He got his ass whooped. Still technically nothing official challenge as of this point on the show, but later on we got the answer. Commentary recapped Eddie Kingston's injury. Fuck. Fuck.
Fuck.
Okada blew a kiss to Dax Harwood in a little backstage interview. We get a commercial for the Young Bucks Reeboks. Renee's backstage with FTR talks about being down a man in anarchy in the arena. They found their fourth, and Harwood said it appears Okada is still the elite's bitch. The Young Bucks defeated Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal in an AEW Tag Team title eliminator. Daniels and Sydal controlled the majority of this match, but and the crowd actually even got behind him. But, yeah, they had no shot in hell of winning. EVP's flaunting their power. Jack Perry on commentary. He was pretty funny on commentary, all things considered.
He raised his drink to the Bucks. His stints on commentary, I feel like, are like a little glimpse of us into how much work he's done on his mic work in the time that he's been gone. You know what? Here's a real hot take for you, because he wasn't really used on New Japan while he was on his excursion, right? He only really did the pay-per-view shows, right? So... And that's fine. That's probably what they wanted from him, right? That's usually what they do with
he did some house reps, but
it wasn't the house of torture. It wasn't the run that we would have wanted him to be on, right? He was just another guy under the sun and getting a rep, right? Like that was what we were thinking, but what they ended up doing worked out for him anyway, because he's not like he needs wrestling training. I don't think New Japan was going to send him to the dojo. Like, he's talented enough. You know what I mean? He might have had to work on it a little bit just to get to their style, but no, but I think it was more like, I think in that time, what he really did, and I think Will Ospreay has talked about this, when you have to cut New Japan promos, you don't get any fucking help, and you just got to do it. So
you got to roll, yeah.
Yep. And so he probably was just either forced to fucking shit or get off the pot, or he literally put time into it, like in similar way to Will Ospreay, where you know they take acting lessons and stuff like that. I don't know if Will Ospreay specifically takes acting lessons, but like takes lessons.
I know Bowens did, yeah.
Yep, Bowens did. Adam Copeland incorporates stuff from his time as an actor into wrestling. You know what I mean? So it's like there's stuff there. So, you know, I think it's more like that. And I think that's the big thing that they had him work on. It was essentially like, bro, go fucking learn how to cut a promo before I put you back on my TV show. What the fuck, man? Come on. You hate promos? Fuck you. That's probably what happened. Let's be honest.
He raised the drink.
Like, you fight CM Punk and then you don't like promos? Come on, Jack.
And then he poured it on Tony Schiavone and Schiavone goes, you son of a bitch. Renee's backstage.
Lived vicariously through Jack in that moment.
Yeah, right. Timeless Tony Storm, Lutha, and Mariah May. She told them Luther, May, and Saraya are all barred from ringside tonight for Storm's match with Holly Cameron. If they want to hurt Mariah May, they'll have to answer to the bosom she clings to. She said after what Serena Deeb did to her last week, she'll end up like everyone in Vegas, flat on their back with an ass in their face, chin, tits, shoe. Malachi Black, backstage staring at Copeland's wedding ring. This was everything that held him back.
Is it just me or when Mina Shirakawa fights Tony Storm for both the championship and the right to fucking Mariah May's love? It's going to be fucking incredible.
It's going to be brilliant. Copeland must bend a knee to the House of Black if he fucking loses.
Bend the knee, Sir Adam Copeland!
Sometimes I feel like we're back there pitching ideas to these guys. All right, so you're going to tell him to bend the knee. Why would I ever say that?
No, there's no shot.
Because you have to.
Tim Copeland was on the show Vikings. He's on Percy.
He knows.
He's a Game of Thrones guy. Let's be honest.
In the fucking
He
name.
Probably read the books before the fucking show came out. You know what I mean? He's a big reader.
Hey, man,
so.
It's like when General Zod made the president bend the knee. You know? You got to do what you got to do here.
You got to do it. Hey, fucking General Zod, fucking, he'll steal your bitch. You know what I mean? Like
Hook defeated Sebastian Wolf. This was a joke. Boy,
talk about steal your bitch. Fucking Hook. Holy shit.
Jericho came out. Hook's doing an eliminator. I rolled my eyes. Jericho and Bill were good here, but the whole thing was fucking dead air. Hook is getting a little more confident with the mic in his mouth, in his hand. That's what I will say. But this is not doing miracles for Hook. It's doing more for Jericho, who doesn't need it. But Strickland defeated Brian Cage.
You know what? Maybe that's what
Jericho is
actually
eliminator.
Really good at. Hot take. Jericho is not actually good at getting other people over. He's good at getting himself over while pretending to get you over.
He's brilliant at getting himself over.
And like
he's incredible.
And I'll give him the credit that when he gets himself over, when you beat him, it does get you over to an extent, but not in the way. Like, I have a real question for you, Charlie, because we watched this experiment happen once before, and where the fuck is Ricky Starks?
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with Ricky. A lot of people seem to think there's a fucking renowned.
Everyone thinks he's WWE bound.
Yeah,
I
someone
doubt
said
it.
Tony Khan's cooling him off. I actually even responded to a tweet and I was like, man, I got gaslit. I fucking responded. They said Tony Khan's cooling him off just like they do with everyone else, which to my response was just like Andrade when he wrestled a whole tournament and a pay per view and then left the same week. Okay, never mind. Moving on.
Yeah, for those of you don't know, TK doesn't do that to wrestlers. He doesn't believe in that because he wants you to be able to go to wherever you're going to go and be a star. And contrary to popular belief, WWE doesn't try to do this either. It was a Vince thing. Vince hated people, and Vince would Triple H is not going to do that to people anymore. And if he does, then he's a jerk.
And I don't think he will. Strickland defeated Cage, honestly? There was some pretty good storytelling here towards the end with Christian Cage.
I wanted to hate this match. I couldn't. It was Swerve, so I couldn't. You know what I mean?
It was Swerve. It was good. Brian Cage delivered here. He got a chance, and he delivered. Just like he normally does. When Cage gets these opportunities, I will say, I'm not the biggest fan of Brian Cage, but he does deliver.
I think if he just didn't phone it in on the fucking random squashes they gave him, I would care more. Like, if he just did crazy shit every time and was just a beast... He'd get over. Would he be a babyface? Probably. And I don't think he would care. Yeah. Does he
there
really need
two...
to be a heel? Come on. Fucking His hero is Chris Benoit, and Chris Benoit was a fucking mega babyface. You know what I mean? He had heel runs. Don't get it twisted. But everybody remembers him as like one of the – because like it's the same thing. And I do think that this would apply to him as well. If they let him get his in-ring work in there, his ring work will get him over. And I think he just doesn't want to do that because he wants to be a heel. And I get it. But just babyface it up for a little bit, baby. Come on.
Swerve won with the house call. He threw two chairs in the ring, laid out Cage before Christian Cage's music hit. Walked out with Mother Wayne. Nick Wayne appeared behind, delivered low blow. Killswitch hit a pump kick. Nick showed a family portrait of Strickland and his family before smashing it over his face. He's bleeding badly. Real glass!
God, man, when fucking AEW storytelling comes first full circle, man, is it fucking beautiful.
Christian made his way to the ring, told Strickland he's embarrassed his son last year by attacking him in Washington in a similar manner. Cage said he's forced now to embarrass Strickland and ask if his daughter is proud of her absentee father. He wiped his bloody face on the family photo. Tonight, he took Strickland's blood. Double or nothing, he takes the world title. Brilliant. I got nothing for that, man. That was fucking brilliant. I just read fucking beat for beat because I was like, you know what?
Tony against Shivani. I'll give Shivani credit for this dynamite. He did a good job. In this thing, he also said... Wow, the first week he took away the Mogul Embassy. The second week he's taking in his blood. What's he going to take before the pay-per-view? So we got one more week. Any predictions on what Christian Cage is going to take next week? I have a theory that I want to throw at you before you give me your answer.
I don't even have a prediction, so let's hear the theory.
My theory is there has been somebody that has been noticeably absent from Swerve's side recently.
Oh, yeah, the Prince.
I think he's going to take the Prince from him.
Okay.
They're going to dismantle everything that made Swerve into a bad guy that got into the top in order to secure his place as the ultimate babyface. That's what they're going to do.
This entire story has been long-term storytelling.
You know what I just realized?
Paid off.
This whole story is kind of like a fucking arc of like a story, right? Because there was the rising action, Swerve, I'm going to be the champion. makes the Mobile Embassy, well, the original Mobile, you know, the Mogul affiliates, but that we'll consider that part of him making the Mobile Embassy, right? That's one, we'll call that one thing, right? He makes the Mobile Embassy, fights Hangman, has one of the best feuds of the year, carries that into a world title feud, has another one of the best feuds of the year with Joe, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then he carries that on to another match with Joe, beats Joe, secures the championship, turns babyface, then gets attacked in the same way that he got into the title scene in the first place by Nick Wayne, which who knows, that might elevate Nick Wayne into the fucking title scene next, depending on what happens in the next match they're going to have. It's like they're reversing. It's like to build himself up to the championship, Swerve had to go to the darkest depths of his soul, and now in order to keep the championship, they're going to strip away all the dark sides of him that make him evil to make him into the true Swerve that should be the champion. That is just like, I don't know if that's what they're going for, but if that is, that is brilliant. Like,
hey, this is why we're Star Wars fans. We fill in the blanks ourselves. no, that's beautiful. Well put. Well
so
put.
How are we doing, fans? They give us all the answers. There's no
I know, way. Right?
Literally everything is told to you.
commercial for a meal and a match. I didn't watch that. Did you catch that?
I didn't, but I added it to my watch later on YouTube, so I'll probably check that out tonight. Okay. I mean, it's got Eddie Kingston on it. It's probably going to be a fucking banger, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I saw they also came out with a new mobile game, but and I didn't check
the
that out
The last two have blown, so
yep.
I'll check it out, you know, but...
Yeah.
What's it called?
It might be worth checking out. Figure Fighters.
Yeah, I mean, it could be good.
Yeah. Renee is backstage with Hook and Shibata. Asks for the numbers game. It's coming too strong for him and Jericho. Looks at the numbers game. It doesn't matter. He'll beat who he has to in order to get a shot at Jericho. Shibata held up his phone, said even if that means him, he wants another shot at Jericho too. That's how it's got to be. So be it. I would love that one-on-one. But that is not the case next week. I also wanted to add to that previous segment. You know, we often reference that Nick Wayne segment as one of the best of the year. And I'm glad
AEW... One of the best in AEW's history, let's be honest.
It really was. It was the favorite segment last year. And AEW knows what they have in that. It was brilliant. And playing off that 9 months later, and it just feels like yesterday. I would like to see AR Fox get involved. So I'll tell you what, maybe that's my prediction.
Oh, they're going to get AR Fox back in? Oh,
I'd
no.
I'd like to see AR Fox get involved. That's no. my prediction. No! Joe walks in, says he thought Hook had promise, but Jericho has him looking like a fool.
Oh my god, the seeds are there because he dropped them immediately, too. I think you just figured it out, dude.
Yeah, I'm down. Thomas Tony Storm defeats Harley Cameron. Cameron, again, showed off her aggressiveness. Serena Deeb came out at the top of the ramp. Crowd was really loudly behind Storm. Arcady Aura was backstage with international champion Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay. I've said it before, Roderick Strong, I think he's a brilliant wrestler. I never really bought into his promos in NXT. I bought into this one. He showed passion. He showed fire here.
Bro's really a head shorter than Will, but actually seemed more intimidating. I'm not even going to lie. He did literally.
He did. You know? They both just exchanged a really good promo here. And I was actually impressed with Roddy because I think he's been working on this. His Diamond, whatever the fuck that group was in NXT, I thought it was bottom of the barrel dog shit for
the
Roddy.
The Diamond Mine.
There it is. And I thought his promos as that trainer were never great. They never... Him and Matt Sydal, they're brilliant wrestlers. I've never been able to buy into their promos. Credit where it's due. I bought into this one. It was fucking brilliant. Arcady Aura, her expressions are so good. She's fantastic.
Yeah, I can see why instead of looking externally, they just brought in somebody that was already doing stuff. Because I'd heard her voice. I think she's done Ring of Honor's ring announcing prior to this. Like, prior to when they brought her in as a interviewer or whatever. I want to say. I could be wrong. It might have just been like they threw her on that same week, but...
I would not be surprised if Ring of Honor was her original, like,
I think they've tried a few other people out at different times. Like, just randomly. Like, Bobby Cruz is now Collision, right? Which Collision was... Who was doing Collision? It was...
Dasha.
It was Dasha, right? And then obviously they let Dasha go or whatever, but or I'm not sure if they did, but you know, Dasha's not as involved.
She was
anymore.
Part of those cuts, yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff.
TBS title contract signing between Willow and Mercedes. I've never been a contract signing guy.
Yeah.
However, this wasn't like awkward, which is my biggest complaint about title contract signings. They always feel a little awkward to me. Willow put her ass through a table. So
yeah,
I'm ready.
I did not expect to see Mercedes get laid out like this before the pay-per-view. That's kind of surprising.
This match feels hot. So does the world title match. AEW announced some fucking bullshit triple main event. Fuck that. The match that goes on last is the main event. It's that fucking simple. Look, if you believe in there's triple main events, good for you. I wish I believed that.
I mean, I feel like it can happen in other fighting sports where, like, there really is no main event because, like, they're just fucking fighting each other for real, right? But, like,
yeah.
But in those scenarios, generally, there is a more important fight, and so it's easier to decide, right?
Yeah.
But this is an example of the – and I know this is going to sound stupid, and it's a fucking complaint that people make all the time. I don't know why your world title – and it doesn't even have to be the men's. It could be the women's. But it could be either or. And maybe even the tag titles if they were in a better spot. You know what I mean? Like, but like
– like they deserve to with the Sting match.
Yeah. If it's a big enough moment, you can put one of those world titles up there on that main event. But I feel like it just feels correct for a title match to be ending the show, especially if a result could potentially change the face of the company. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, this is just another way of Tony Khan, like, not wanting to put people down. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to make people feel less than. And so even though they're not the main event, he's going to call them the main event. Nobody else on this fucking card is going to think these are the main events, though. None of them.
No, I've personally never believed in these double main event, triple main event things. You go on last, you're the main event. And Mercedes and Willow should most likely go on last. If it was in my hands, I would put it on last. It makes sense to me. They're not going to. I've seen some
believe
people
that, like,
me, they're I
will nervous be
about this
and saying that, wow, Tony Khan will do this in Ring of Honor, which he clearly considers to be secondary, but he won't do it on his main show. If that's how that's how I feel right now. Knowing that they didn't get the main event. And I thought it felt so obvious, even though this isn't the biggest story. Do you know what it is? I think the story failed them. I don't think the two wrestlers involved had any issues. I think they didn't get the big enough story. This show should have been built around Mercedes. Why it's not been, I don't fucking know, but it's fucking absolutely ridiculous. Like,
yeah. So hopefully it's her turn to fire back next week. So let's see it fire back. That being said, we're not done with the week. We still have Collision, Rampage, and our Double or Nothing predictions. We've already covered the opener of Collision. Duke, take the lead where I believe we got some Moxley action next.
Correct. Before we get into that, though, we had a little video segment with, I believe it was Brian and... Was it Claudio backstage? No, it was Brian and... It's Brian and FTR backstage. My bad.
That's what it was. Yep.
I was trying to think. It was weird. It was because I didn't expect him to see them with
shit,
them.
Shit, I'm scanning my fucking thing.
No. I saw FTR in my notes, and I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, so the Elite have put a price on FTR and Brian's head. Jesus Christ. They're fucking putting out assassinations now. And then we cut to Jon Moxley and Claudio backstage, and Jon Moxley was, like, sitting there, and he was just cutting his little promo. Claudio cuts in. And then you can see there's this moment on Jon Moxley's face where he's like, I don't know if I should hand you this mic, buddy. I'm kind of doing my thing. And he looks and Claudio starts talking and he's like, oh, okay. All right, Claudio, I see you, you know, like, so, and I actually really like what Claudio had to say here. He's like, you know, I don't fucking like talking, bro. I like showing you what I can do because that's what I'm good at. And I was like, you know what? I respect the shit out of that, Claudio. You're right. I do like watching you wrestle more than I like watching you talk. Fuck, absolutely. You know, but he's still actually a great promo too, I think. So I think it's funny. The irony is in a promo talking about how much he hates cutting promos, like Claudio cut a pretty good promo. You know what I mean? Like,
he always comes across as like super like legit and serious. All
he's
same
so
breath.
Intelligent. You know what I mean? Yeah, and we know his background. He speaks like fucking 75 languages and like can hit like every wrestling move under the sun.
He's basically C-3PO.
Essentially, yeah. Like he's like C-3PO as a wrestler. Yeah. Except he can actually move, like he doesn't have that stiff ass fucking movement, you know. Yeah, good stuff there. We also got a Jericho and Hook recap, followed by Jericho being like, Hook, maybe one day you'll be able to take a shot at this championship again. Maybe.
What other podcast is calling Cesaro or Claudio fucking C-3PO? Motherfucker,
man, we are.
Yeah, it's because we are the greatest podcast of all time. Gop. Gapo. Gapote? Anyway. Gapote. We're the Gapotes. Nah, fuck that. Anyway. Johnny TV and Taya Valkyrie took on... Well, it wasn't really Taya Valkyrie involved in this. She was just kind of there. Kind of fucking an ornament in this match, but whatever, you know. Johnny TV took on Hook, and I'm honestly kind of shocked to just see them throw Johnny TV out and lose to Hook like this. I mean, you know, you gotta have Hook beat some legit people, but it was just kind of like, okay. Is Johnny TV's deal up or something? What's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, like, okay. You know,
But yeah, good stuff there, I guess. The next match we also had was Rocky Romero versus Katsuyori Shibata. I love throwing that match on a fucking random collision. Just love it. International flavor, technical stuff. You know, great stuff from Shibata. And a little bit of intrigue heading into Dynamite, because now, you know, we had the little segment last week where Hook was like, hey, Shibata, if it comes down to me versus you, bro, it is what it is, you know? And
amen.
So we're going to get that.
Pineapple,
now.
Pineapple.
All right. We had Bounty Hunter Brian Keith taking on Beefcake Boulder. You know, I'll put this into Call of Duty terms for you guys, because for those of you who didn't know, I'm a fan of Optic Texas, and they just picked up the win in Major 3's championship tournament. So shout out to the boys at Optic Texas. Shout out to MVP Shotzi. Shout out to Bruce with that 1v3 for the fucking W. And, you know, in Call of Duty terms, Bounty Hunter Brian Keith shit on him. He absolutely obliterated him. He, you know, he dog walked him. There was not much here. And this is kind of funny considering on Ring of Honor, we had this promo from, you know, from Buried Country talking about how they were sick of how everybody was doing it. And they were just going to do it for themselves and they didn't care what anybody said. And it doesn't really seem to have worked out for them that well. So I guess back to the drawing board for those guys, but yikes. Okay, this was a fun segment. I wish Charlie was here to talk about this, because this was just fun.
Luckily enough, I just sat back down.
Hell yeah, yeah. So I put it into Call of Duty terms for Bounty Hunter Brian Keith versus Beefcake Boulder. I also shouted out the boys at Optic Texas, because of course, you know. He shit on him. That's what he did to Boulder, and I also thought I said that was kind of funny considering they'd you know what they said on Ring of Honor, but you know, I guess it didn't work out, but. But then the next segment is fun. Pac was backstage, and was it Arcady or was it fucking Lexi? I don't remember, but either way, it was one of those two. And they were like, yo, what's going on, man? You seem kind of fucking weird lately. What's up, Pac? You know, he was like, you know, I fucking haven't felt anything in weeks, guys. Like, just make me feel something, you know? And I was just like, Jesus Christ, Pac is literally like disassociating or something like that. Like, what the fuck? This man is going through it right now, Charlie. That was the setup. But all I have to say to all everything that Pac said is same, man, same. Anyway, but then we come back from commercial and the Bang Bang Gang music hits, and exactly what you would expect to happen. Happened. They assassinated Pac live on television. He's dead.
Brilliant angle.
Yes, I love this. Great way to set up your angle. Which I mean, I do you think this will make the pay per view or this will just be TV? I hope it makes the pay per view somehow. That'd be sick. Pac versus Jay White, bro. Nice. Be fucking sick.
Something
match.
I really noticed during Collision this week as well, and this was one of those moments where it really stuck out. I think they're using new cameras. It looked incredible.
They do like to do some experimental camera work on the other show.
Didn't everything look wider? Like, the lenses looked wider.
I will say, when they cut to the stage, in fact, there was a little bit of a side angle to it, too. Like, there was stuff. They know how to shoot this stuff in a way.
The Osprey entrance, yep. Right? Like,
mm-hmm. They're trying new things. With Collision. Listen, if you want to try new things, Collision is absolutely the place to do it, because it gets less viewers anyway. And so it's not going to kill everything if nobody likes what you did. But if you try something that works, now you can put that in front of your big audience. You know what I mean?
Let's get crazy with that Collision series at the esports arena. Let's
absolutely.
Get nuts.
Get some nuts.
Seriously.
Do some crazy
shit.
You can
do fucking cool shit.
Yeah. Do some fucking in-ring interviews with without the hard cam being the camera or something like that. You know, do some wild shit. Remember when WWE used to do that, where they'd do the interviews in-ring with and it'd be a camera. AEW does this sometimes too, but it would just be a standing camera in the ring. You know what I mean? And instead of having the hard cam shot or whatever, you know what I mean? I think that'd be cool. Try some new things. Like I said, you got some talented people working for your company. Let them experiment. They might make some really cool art, you know?
Let them cook.
Yes, Christian Cage and the Patriarchy were backstage talking to news, and basically Nick Wayne. This was different. Okay, I'll give him credit here. Normally, if there was a heel manager like Christian Cage, right, and they were leading somebody like Nick Wayne, and he wanted to face Swerve Strickland by himself, they would not let it happen. But Christian Cage is smarter than that. He's going to fucking have a backup plan anyway if Nick Wayne's going to lose. They'll just cheat anyway. They just won't be at ringside. They're not banned, so that's not going to get them in trouble. You know what I mean? So... He's going to hedge his bets, of course, but Nick Wayne feels like he needs to do this to prove he's a man. And I like that, and it feels like this storyline has a through line to it, that Nick Wayne felt fucking emasculated when Swerve broke into his fucking house and beat the shit out of him and broke his, you know, the photo of him and his father over his head. You know what I mean? Like, he felt emasculated, and the only thing that's felt like it's given him a sense of masculinity since then is being
led by Christian Cage. And so now he feels like he has to prove himself to Christian Cage. It's just a brilliant storyline. I mean, I'll never stop talking about this. It's so great.
It really is, and you just articulated it very well. Like that, yeah, it's very, very good.
100%.
I like those odds.
Now to go to a storyline that could have been really good that is not. Sorry. Just keep it at a buck, you know? Orange Cassidy took on Isaiah Cassidy. First of all, Nigel McGuinness is hard carrying commentary on Collision. It's not even close. Trent, he's basically a one-man commentary team, honestly. So, you know, and it would probably still be more entertaining than the two-man team they have. So, anyway, Trent Beretta showed up. I just got no spice in this story, man. I just don't know what it is. It feels like it should be way more important, yet it's not. And you know what I think that is, man?
Yeah, it just has no
Trent
juice.
Was never an established star. And it feels like Orange Cassidy is just kind of going through the motions with a guy that he should be, you know? Like...
It sucks, but you're right.
Yeah. He challenged Cassidy to a straight-up wrestling match, which means, you know, it'll probably be a PWG fucking spot fest, you know? Which I'm okay with. It's just, you know, that's the irony is that, like, Trent's like, oh, we're going to have a wrestling match. No, the fuck you're not, dude. You don't know how. Come on. Like, go wrestle Brian. He's going to have the kind of match he has with someone, like, that wrestles that style. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to have the fucking technical wizardry masterpiece that he's going to have with Zack Sabre. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Anyway, we got a video. We had Serena Deeb take on Anna Jay. So, yeah, again, getting some reps this week for Anna Jay. And she can't have anything possibly but something to gain from wrestling someone like Serena. So that's a W for me. So, you know, and she's an established star, Anna, that can lose to somebody like Serena, not lose anything. And Serena does still gain something from it. But this was a commercial break match. The significant thing from this one, Charlie, was Tony Storm came out and Luther and Mariah stole the flag. And then Tony Storm covered her. She obviously wasn't really naked, but her naked body
her
with
bare
it, you know,
body.
She did that, which, you know, I the mean, news. Shit, Serena, just sell that shit on eBay. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Yeah. Shit will fucking sell instantly, but yeah. And so what I was gonna say, after that we had a Swerve versus Christian video package. This video package at fuck pay-per-view is gonna be lit. Probably not as good as the last one, because the last one was just incredible, you know, because it built up everything about Swerve over the last hour long, but you know, it's gonna still be pretty good. I'm sorry about this next one, Charlie. Nick Wayne got a squash against Jack Cartwheel.
Yeah, Jack got fucked.
Mm-hmm. He was sent to the Shadow Realm a little bit. And he did it with the house call, though. Good storytelling. I like it.
Yep.
Because he could have pinned him after he hit the Wayne's World, but he was like, nah. I got to beat you with Swerve's move. Like that. Lance Archer and the Righteous took on FTR and Bryan Danielson. This was fantastic. All the stuff I love from all these guys, pretty much. I do feel like, in terms of match quality, we ate as AEW fans this week. This was kind of a match of chaos. This was your smorgasbord match. You got all your different flavors in there. It was a blast from start to finish. And we had a post-match beatdown by the Righteous and Lance Archer, which is always their real goal, obviously. And then Daniel Garcia makes a save. Charlie, they keep teasing it. When is this man joining the fucking Combat Club?
You know, maybe the timing's perfect with Yuta being out with no future in mind of when he's coming back. Maybe
give me that DGFTR, baby. Come on, give me something.
Give me something good to eat. Yeah. No, there's options. Solid Collision. Just one of those things where, you know, you look at them every match on paper and you already know who's winning. I've seen that. People complain about that in the past. And, you know, I don't fundamentally agree. I don't mind it as long as the matches are good. It's kind of always been my personal mentality.
I yapped, buddy. Let's get through Rampage. I don't mean to cut you off, but like we got a whole predictions to do. So,
Kyle O'Reilly defeated Lee Moriarty in about 10 minutes in the only match worth your time here. That's a lie. Actually, we jumped to an Alexi Nair interview with the Acclaimed. This was whatever. Roosh ended a fucking brilliant, incredible. Gobsmacking fucking squash match here. Roosh and Bron Breakker know how to go out there and beat the fuck out of some unsigned talent. Worth your 38 seconds. Lexi Nair checked on Danielson for an update. I think it's all at work. The Virtuosa, Deonna Purrazzo, defeated Robin Renegade. I like seeing Robin get these spots back-to-back weeks. She choked her out.
I put in my notes, Deonna Purrazzo rips the arms off a small child.
Oh, no. Oh, no. accurate. Accurate. Yeah, she had a cool pump kick and locked in the arm
so
bar.
So fucking ridiculous. I wrote that last night, dude. That's funny.
We get a vignette for Scorpio. Sounds like he's come back as a babyface. Double or Nothing commercial. Sanjay Dutt collecting the bounty on Danielson. And Brian Cage defeats Anthony Bowens in a what the fuck main event. This is, as someone who's been advocating for Anthony Bowens singles, this hurt me a little bit. But, you know, I digress. We move on.
I wonder if Max Caster's not capping when he says people don't want to work with them. Like, I wonder, like, are they just, is Max Caster just like an actual jackass? Like, is that what it is? Like,
would we doubt it at this point? I don't even know. I don't even know.
It's so odd because you'd think, you know, even if you were just going to beat them, you'd still want to work with them, right? Like,
yeah.
And I feel like a lot of teams would be beating them at this point. Let's be honest. Like,
yeah, it does. It does. Next week on Dynamite, we got Swerve versus Nick Wayne. Three-way number one contender match for the FTW title. Hook, Shibata, Brian Keith. Roderick Strong and Trent Barretta.
Yeah, those were all qualification matches. Three matches that I mentioned were qualification matches for that match. I didn't mention that because I don't fucking care because the Hook is winning, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like,
I'd be okay if we got a four-way at the pay-per-view. Tell you what, though. Roddy and Trent Barretta versus Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay. Tony Storm and Mariah May versus Saraya and Harley Cameron. Kyle O'Reilly versus Malachi Black. Danielson versus Satnam Singh. We'll hear from Bullet Club Gold. Takeshita versus Matt Sydal. Nightingale Mercedes preview. And John Moxley will be in the building. Double or Nothing 2024. We're going to start at the top. Duke always goes first on the odds. Roderick Strong versus Will Ospreay. Singles match for the AEW International Championship. What do you got?
Ospreay! Ospreay!
Awesome. I dig it. I dig it.
It's time. Fuck it. We didn't waste any time with Okada. Why waste it with Will?
Why waste it? I couldn't agree more. Will Ospreay time. Tony Storm versus Serena Deeb. Singles match for the AEW Women's World Championship.
Tony Storm.
Shock the world.
Nah, Tony Storm.
Tony Storm all day.
Sure, call a match. That's got to be Forbidden Door, right?
Should be, yeah. Adam Copeland versus Malachi Black, barbed wire, steel cage match for the AEW TNT title.
I got Malachi Black winning.
Ooh.
I don't think Adam Copeland needs this title.
I am fucking so down with that. That'd be wild. I just want Malachi
to win something, damn it. It's been so long since I ever those
processed
trios.
Him possibly winning.
Their title runs have been so good. Julius was great. Their trios run was phenomenal. I would love to see them. Probably, though, that's probably what's going to happen is he's probably going to lose and they're going to go into the trios division, right? And then they'll probably win those again and they'll, you know, run that division for a little while. Because that matchup they'll have with
Copeland, but I think you sold me on Malachi winning.
Could you imagine how awesome that would be, bro? Come
yeah, no,
on.
You it's sold me. Fire death match.
It feels so appropriate. Like, come on, like, and he made this man go to the darkest depths of his soul, and he's still gonna beat him. Like, that feels like that's the star making moment for Malachi to me. But it could be wrong.
John Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match. I got Takeshita.
Imagine.
Yeah, but it's an eliminator match, so I'm going Takeshita.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to run it back at like a New Japan pay-per-view, 100%. You know what I mean? Like, I'm down. Yeah.
Mox has got to hold this title through the evil match at Dominion. Jesus fucking God.
Nah, now I don't want him to win because I don't want him facing evil. Get out of here.
Trent Barretta versus Orange Cassidy. Who you got?
Orange Cassidy, probably in less than 15 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to go Trent Barretta. Chris Jericho versus FTW Contender Series winner. I think we're both in agreement. It's Hook, right? Hook's winning the FTW Contender Series. I got Chris Jericho retaining the title, though, actually.
I have Hook winning because, God, I hope you're wrong. I want this just to be over with.
And then let's start our triple main event. Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Moné. Singles match for the AEW TBS Championship. Who you got?
I got Mercedes winning here. because I don't know what you do with her otherwise. You know, like, it feels weird to put her in this immediately unless she's going to win, right? Like,
yeah, the story develops further if she wins as well. And I think we need it to I'd like to see it develop another step. Let's have her win. Let's have Mercedes win this fucking thing. I'm in. I got Mercedes as well. The Elite versus Team AEW Anarchy in the arena. Please, God, let it be the Elite. Don't let them lose this match as their first match as a four. I'm going the Elite. Hoping, yeah. Also thinking.
Okay.
Okay.
If you guys go back 3-4 weeks ago on the podcast, when they announced that the Elite were going to be in Anarchy in the arena again, I said then they were winning. Before we knew who was in the match. Just want to throw that out there.
Sticking with it?
100%. Because it 100%. Makes no sense.
Let's go.
Also, if you just do that, then it kind of feels like they've been dethroned as like the leaders. So like
they need to hold. So they got tag titles in this. We got scapegoat and the.
Let's be real. There's only one person that's going to defeat the Elite. You need the Elite to defeat the Elite. It's going to have to. It's going to have to be the tablecloth. You know.
Tablecloth.
Yep.
Main event: Swerve Strickland versus Christian Cage singles match for the AEW World Championship.
I mean, Swerve's going to retain. I mean, come on. If he doesn't, what the fuck are we doing? Like,
I'm with you. I got Swerve retaining. I've really enjoyed the build-up to this. I'm sure this following week will be good as well. That being said, we'll be back for Double or Nothing, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show today. And, yeah, if you're on Spotify, go hit that poll. I'll tell you what. We might even toss that other poll on Twitter.
Screw it. I mean, I just want to get both of them answered. I mean, I don't know if people... So. If you guys,
we'll do something along those lines. We'll get those results for Double or Nothing. And yeah, that'll be it for us, everyone. Thank you very much for hanging out. And we'll catch you guys Sunday when I'm in. Malakai Black, new TNT champion. Let's fucking do it. Thanks, everyone. Holy shit!